Welcome to Rich Answers, a public affairs program of the Conference of Churches and a production of the 224 Ecospace, where changemakers work, create, and lead. Today we are fortunate to have with us Robert Harris, who is the historian of the Buffalo Soldiers, a motorcycle club, that is the Hartford chapter, along with Steve Best, who is a member of the Buffalo Soldiers. They are a motorcycle group that is committed to community service. And on October 21st, they will be visiting Redeemer's Amy Zion Church in Plainville, Connecticut for a blessing of the motorcycles and riders. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Glad to have you here. So, Brother Harris, why don't you start out by giving us some background on the Buffalo Soldiers?
Yes, okay. Pardon me. First of all, the Buffalo Soldier Motorcycle Club, if I may. We're an organization of 121 chapters of the Buffalo Soldiers. We have chapters throughout the United States. As a matter of fact, we're the largest African-American club in motorcycle club in the United States. We have chapters also in South Korea as well as Hawaii.
Wow.
One of the main a mission statement, that is community involvement. That's more or less a little bit about the club itself. The name Buffalo Soldiers came from a group of African-American cavalrymen and infantrymen that was formed just after the Civil War. Our founder of the club, Ken Thomas, or his road name being a Dreammaker, he wanted to make or organize a club that would be dedicated to not only community involvement, but to honor the legacy of the African Americans and their military contribution in the founding of this country and in the protection of this country. That's why the name Buffalo Soldiers.
Bit more background on the original Buffalo Soldiers. Why is it important for us to remember them?
Yeah, Buffalo Soldiers, as I said, they were formed just after the Civil War in 1866 under the Military Reorganization Act. And this was the first time that the United States government officially recognized African Americans to join the Army or to the military. The country was moving west after the Civil War, and of course there was the problem with being the Wild, Wild West. So the 39th Congress, first session of the 39th Congress, they passed legislation for the formation of these four groups, the 9th and the 10th Cavalry, and the 24th and the 25th Infantry. The part that they played in more or less the winning or the taming of the West was that the best example that I could give would be anytime you see any cavalry movie, the old John Wayne movies and all like that, well, you have to keep in mind too that 1/5 of all those troopers on the Western frontier were African Americans.
And that's little known.
No, hardly ever known. Yeah. They guarded the wagon trains for the settlers moving west. They built roads, bridges, they escorted surveyors, they protected the gold fields, they carried the mail longer than the Pony Express, they assisted with local law enforcement. They did just about everything that you would normally see on TV and in the movies, but these were done by 20% of these men were African-American.
And when we think about the times, these are people that had been newly released from being slaves.
Yes, they were.
And what impact did that have on their service role?
Well, most of them, there was very few that could read and write. So what they did, in my reading, I discovered that the ones that made sergeant, what they would do would, they were unable to read the manuals, but the white officers would more or less read these military manuals to them, and they would memorize it. They would memorize word for word in giving commands. The names, of course, in calling out the roll, they knew all about the soldiers, their names and everything. But anytime a new person or a new soldier would join the outfit, the usually white officer would say, okay, this is Private So-and-so or Private Bill Johnson, whatever. And they would commit that name to memory along with the roster of everyone else that was in the outfit. So they didn't have a problem calling the roll in that sense, because what they would do is just keep those things in mind, or keep those names rather in mind.
Powerful. So the Buffalo Soldiers have a tremendous history. And then the Motorcycle Club was created in their name. Mm-hmm. So once again, when did it start and how did it come to Connecticut?
It started in 1993. It came to Connecticut through a former police officer, Bloomfield, by the name of Sean Bolton, and a former Hartford police officer. I can't think of my brother's name. We just call him Doc Ryder. I know he'll probably kill me for not thinking of his name.
He'll listen and he'll know we're so sorry but that we're having a senior moment.
truly a senior moment. It was Doc Ryder. And they brought it to Connecticut in 2004. They opened up the chapter in 2004.
And what was the requirement to open the chapter? What makes it a chapter?
I'm not too sure on the, we have national bylaws that are put out by the home chapter in Chicago. And what makes it a chapter, what makes individual, you have to be of good character. You have to obey the rules and regulations of the national bylaw. And just be in conformity with the national bylaws. And that's what would make you a chapter.
And there's no felonies.
No felonies.
No felonies. I forgot that part also. Yeah.
So really, it's a group of people that are committed to community service and making a difference. So when you think about your role with the Buffalo Soldiers, talk about some of the activities you've been involved in.
Here in the Hartford chapter, what we do is we're involved with the, we just finished our sickle cell ride. We work in conjunction with UConn Medical Center. And every year we have a sickle cell ride, a ride for the cure, more or less. We participate in the Connecticut Food Share. Next week, I believe on the 13th of this month, October, we're going to be involved in the Kevin Bell ride. Kevin was the firefighter that was killed several years back. We're going to be involved in his ride. During the water crisis in Flint, Michigan, our group, along with several other groups, we sent two tractor trailer loads of bottled water. At the end of this month, on the 27th of October, we have our annual all-you-can-eat pancake breakfast at Shiloh Baptist Church on Main Street. And with those proceeds, we normally contribute to their food pantry and scholarship fund. And Sidecar and I, we just recently, we did the Sand Down for Veterans in Rocky Hill, whereby we donate clothing, toilet articles, and what have you. Those are just some of the things we're involved in.
And you have to be present. You have to be an outstanding personal man or woman, because we have women in our club too. And there are teachers, lawyers, firemen, policemen, state police, and we all come together to build a club.
That's one of the things we do. We don't discriminate. Although we are primarily an African American club, our membership is open to everyone of good character. We do not discriminate.
We're talking to members of the Buffalo Soldiers, and they're going to have a special worship service October 21st at Redeemer's Amy Zion Church in Plainville, Connecticut, and we'll be back after the break.
Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on the tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. Flies all having fun, you know what I mean. Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this old world is a new world and a bold world for me. When you shine, you know how I feel. Scent of the pine, you know how I feel. Freedom is mine, I know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me.
Our time is now. In the small town of Elmira, New York, a boy was born into an all-American family. The odds of him opening his own clothing store at the age of 18? 1 in 138,000. Excited to be a part of pop culture, he packed for the big city. The odds of finding someone to invest in his vision? 1 in 4.5 million. The odds of him achieving his dream in the fashion industry? 1 in 23 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I am Tommy Hilfiger, and my family is affected by autism. I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
We're talking with Robert Harris and Steve Best, two members of the Buffalo Soldiers Motorcycle Club, the Hartford chapter. Welcome back.
Thank you.
So for those who are listening that can't see, the Buffalo Soldiers have on these wonderful black leather vests with all kinds of pins and patches and regalia. So, Brother Robert, tell us what the vests mean and the various things on them.
Okay. Well, the vest is basically a history of the individual that's wearing the vest. On the back of the vest, you'll see what we call a scrollie, which is a picture or representation of our founder. And at the top, it's a buffalo, the bottom of upper and lower rocker, buffalo soldier, with MC on each side. Now, when you apply for membership in the Buffalo Soldier, it's usually 1 year probation, and you're required to ride at least 1,500 miles. And once you're a probie, you'll get the upper and lower rocker. You'll get Buffalo Soldier, and that's it. So you'll have what we call a hole in your back. At the end of your probation, if you're accepted, then that's when you get the scrollie. That's when you get your center patch and the word MC, or the letters, I'm sorry, MC, and you become an official member, a full-fledged or full-patch member. The front of the vest, as I said, is an indication of the individual that's wearing the vest. What I have, I worked in corrections, so I have a correction badge on. The American flag, of course. I'm from Chicago, and I worked in corrections in Chicago.
Wow.
So I also have a Chicago correctional patch. The red and blue patch you see here with the hatchet in the center, that represents the 178th Regimental Combat Team, Illinois National Guard, of which I was a member. It was an all-black unit when I was in high school.
Wow.
To the right, I'm a veteran. I served in Berlin. I was in Berlin from 60 to 63. The Fifth Army patch was where I took basic training in Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. Red and black patch with the hourglass on it is Korea. I served it a year in Korea. And the various buttons were the various rides that I had gone on. This one here, I'm really proud of. This was the 25th anniversary. This was at our convention, the 25th anniversary of the founding of the Buffalo Soldiers. So of all the patches that I have and the, you know, the pins, this is the one that I'm most proudest of.
And that's the story. So for those who are listening, tell them about your bike.
My bike is a 2006 VTX Honda trike. The reason why I ride a trike, it's kind of a funny story. I had never been on a motorcycle before in my life. I just started riding about 4 years ago.
Wow.
And in the academy, when I was in the school, I was afraid the bike was going to tip over, and I was just so nervous on the bike. So I was having a problem with the turns. You know, I'm trying to turn left and I'm trying to turn right, but here again, I'm afraid the bike is going to tip over. So I finally got that nailed down, the turning nailed down, but I was still reluctant, you know, in making the turns. So the instructor said, look, why don't you do this? This is how you make a turn on a motorcycle. You look in the direction that you want to go and you lean the bike. The sharper the turn, the greater the lean. Okay, so I'm doing this in the academy, and I'm making left and right turns. Now, he said, because you're a new rider, why don't you get a trike? Great idea. So I buy a trike. Now, the first time I'm out riding with my brothers, I'm still nervous, and I'm riding behind what, at that time, road captain, Scout. And we're going up to the airport, Bradley, to get some ice cream. So he makes a left turn. Now, this is my first time on the bike now. And I see him, so I put my signal on. And I think of what the instructor said in school, look and lean. Unfortunately, you do not lean a trike.
Oh, no. No.
So what I did, I wound up trying to make a left turn, going completely off-road into some farmer's field, and I'm going over humps like this. And so I finally got it back into formation, and believe it or not, the first thing I said to myself, oh God, I hope they didn't see me. but what happened was that we get to the ice cream parlor, and everybody's looking at me, holding their mouth and snickering, saying, off-road, off-road, off-road.
That became your nickname.
That became my nickname. Yeah.
Okay. So you have a colleague here, Steve Vest, who's laughing at you hysterically, but they call him Sidecar. So why?
Originally, I had a sidecar. But now, I got a trike. And I don't go off road.
Thank you, buddy.
So tell our listeners why you have a trike.
I was paralyzed on my right side. I had a stroke in 1985. And it left me paralyzed on my right hand side. Fortunately, I was a teacher. I taught biology in the American school system. I retired after 34 years there. I still have no feeling in my right-hand side, but I do everything with my left, and I am involved in the martial arts too. And I became a 10th degree black belt, Soulstick.
So even partially paralyzed, you've still been riding a motorcycle. And this is my brother, listeners.
Yeah.
And I'm not one to ride with him easily, even though other people do. The partial paralysis is scary to some, but not to him. No. So you've been riding a motorcycle. How long after your stroke?
No, I was riding before my stroke. And I wish that I could get on after my stroke, and I did.
So you can do all kinds of things even after a traumatic brain injury.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he is a member of the Buffalo Soldiers. So we're going to hear more after our break. We'll come back after and talk more with Robert Harris and Steve Best of the Buffalo Soldiers Motorcycle Club of Greater Buffalo.
You have been listening to Rich Answers, a public affairs program of the Conference of Churches.
When Dad needed help getting around, I became his driver. Any daughter would do the same. But soon enough, he needed help doing more things, and it was up to me to be his personal shopper and financial manager, too. And before I knew it, Dad moved in with me, so I became his cook, his personal assistant, his physical therapist, and even his nurse. When I started taking care of Dad, I didn't realize all the roles I'd have to play. But no matter what, I know I'm still his daughter.
We understand the many roles you play. And to help, we created an online caregiving resource center. At aarp.org/caregiving, you can find resources and connect with the caregiving community. Together, we can better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving to learn more. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
America. It was the 3rd of September. That day I'll always remember. Yes, I will. 'Cause there was the day that my daddy died. I never got a chance to see him. Never heard nothing but bad things about him. Mama, I'm depending on you. Tell me the truth. Mama just hung her head and said, son, Papa was a rolling stone. Wherever he laid his hat was his home.
And when he died,
all he left us was alone. Oh, Papa was a rolling stone, my son, yeah. Wherever he laid his hat was his home.
And when he died,
all he left us was alone. Mama, is it true what they say that Papa never worked a day in his life?
And Mama, some bad talk going around town saying that Papa had 3 outside children and another wife. And that ain't right.
Heard some talk about Papa doing some storefront preaching, talking about saving souls and all the time leeching.
Where he laid his hat.
30,000 square feet. What would you do with that kind of possibility? Would you strategize your future? Or get lost in the past? Will you fill it with stories? Or use it to empty your mind? Would you explore your spirituality? Or focus on improving your community? Will you use it to work late? Or just work it? Could you create lasting impressions? Or a brief, delicious one? Our vision for the 224? 30,000 square feet of endless possibilities.
Welcome back. We're talking with Robert Harris and Steve Best of the Buffalo Soldiers Motorcycle Club, an organization that's committed to community service. In our last segment, we started talking to Steve Best about his experience riding and his bike. So tell us once again, what kind of bike do you have?
I got a Harley.
A Harley trike?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. So that works. Yeah. So now for our listeners, tell them a little bit about what's on your vest.
Well, the name, Buffalo Soldiers, and this is all the place where I have gone. We did a ride to New Orleans. We did a ride to Florida, and it knocked the socks off of me.
Well, yeah, I can imagine that for many people, those who are not able to see. These are rather seasoned gentlemen.
Thank you.
And well, so considering a motorcycle ride from Connecticut to Florida, how long did it take you?
Well, 2 days.
2 days.
Yeah.
And what did it feel like to ride for 2 days on a motorcycle?
I couldn't get off the motorcycle. My friends had to help me off.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And so when you think about your experience with the Buffalo Soldiers, why does this group mean so much to you?
I wouldn't have been who I am without the Buffalo Soldiers.
How so?
Because they made me stronger. I stand up for what I think is right, and I enjoy the fellowship.
And so it's a wonderful experience of being with other people, other men and women on the open road.
Yeah.
How does it draw you closer?
It's just mainly, I think, just the fellowship and just the thing that we have in common of riding motorcycles. It's just something about it, just being out on the open road and just riding bikes along and riding in a group, okay? As a new rider or as a relatively new rider, to know that your brothers and sisters just got your back, either they're in front of you or whether they're behind you, they've got your back, you know? And it's just that sense of security, like, hey, wow, I know that this person behind me is watching out for me. I mean, of course, that you have to watch out for yourself, because even though we're riding in a group, you still obey all the laws. You don't try to, you know, run a light or anything like that. But it's just the security of riding in a group and knowing that brothers and sisters, they've got your back and they got your best interest as well as your safety, you know, at heart.
And so when you think about it, people, when they hear motorcycle club, often they think of motorcycle gang.
Yeah.
And so how do you dispel that when people see a group of people on motorcycles? How do you dispel that?
Well, first of all, we don't call ourselves a gang. We're a club. And we're not one percenters. One percenters are, you know, what we call outlaw groups, you know, not to mention them or anything like that. But we call them outlaw groups, and there's no rules, there's nothing, there's no organization. Most of them do not ride with helmets. And we just try to disassociate ourselves with that. Plus, the fact that the Buffalo Soldiers over the years have built up such a positive reputation that just the name Buffalo Soldiers is like, oh, wow, those guys are great. You know, we can, when we have our conventions every year, no matter what town or city or state that we're in, we always stay at 5-star hotels.
Wow.
And the reason for this is because the hotels, they pass the word, you know, hey, these guys are okay. You know, you don't have to worry about any trouble. You don't have to worry about, you know, any kind of, you know, damage to your whole property or anything like that. The first convention that I went on in Jacksonville, Florida, I was not a member then. In fact, I wasn't even an associate. I was just, you know, what they call a hanger-on, a wannabe. And I was talking with two Jacksonville police officers, and they said that you guys must really be something special. I said, well, why would you say that? He said, because this is the first time I've been a police officer here for at least 6 years, and this is the first time I've ever seen the city put on something like this for a black motorcycle club.
Wow.
He said, you guys must really be something else.
And so if somebody's listening now, especially for you, Steve, somebody might have had a traumatic brain injury and they're wondering, can I get back on the bike again? What would you say to them?
Yes, but they must pass a course and have all the apparatus switched to what side you can operate and have fun.
Have some fun.
Yeah.
And if people are listening and they want to learn more about the Buffalo Soldiers or get involved, how do they do that?
They could contact us by going on our website. www.buffalosoldiers.com. Hartford, Connecticut, because if you Google www Buffalo Soldiers, you're going to pull up the national website, you know, and it could be all over. But you have to specify Hartford to contact either who is a Big D and Beamer. Big D is our president, who was a retired state police officer.
Powerful.
Yeah, and Beamer, he's a vice president. He was a retired school principal for the Hartford school system.
And it's amazing because the Buffalo Soldiers are full of people that have had major standing in the community that mm-hmm. are really committed to giving back. Mm-hmm. So it's a wonderful group of people that are really making a difference and our role models in our community. So mm-hmm. we thank you so much for being with us today. We thank you for the work of the Buffalo Soldiers.
Thank you. And if I may just, Brian, I really apologize for not remembering your name. So please, please forgive me. I love you.
And once again, Buffalo Soldiers will be at Redeemer's Amy Zion Church on October 21st. And their pancake breakfast is October 28th or 27th.
It's the 27th at Shiloh Baptist Church.
In Hartford, ma'am. Connecticut.
Thank
you. And the funds will go back to the community. Thank you so much, Buffalo Soldiers, for being with us today.
Thank you.
My friend, yes, feel it's their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, all you want to do is use me. Feels it's good getting used. Oh, you just keep on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up. My brother sit me right down and he talked to me. That I ought not to let you just walk on me. And I'm sure he meant well. Yeah, but when I talk was through, I said, brother, if you only knew, you'd wish that you were in my shoes. You just keep on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up. Sometimes that's true, you really do abuse me. You get me in a crowd of high-class people, and then you act real rude to me. But oh, baby, 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 when you love me, I can't get enough. Getting used, oh, you just keep on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up. Talking about you, people, it all depends on what you do. It ain't too bad the way you. Thank you.
woke up this morning after another one of those crazy dreams. Oh, nothing is going right this morning. The whole world is wrong, it seems. Oh, I guess it's the chains that bind me. I can't shake or lose these chains and things. Seems like everything is lost. I got a cold-hearted, wrongdoing woman and a slave-driving boss. I can't lose these chains that bind me. Can't shake or lose these chains and things. Just can't lose these chains and things.
I've been listening to Rich Answers, a public affairs program of the Conference of Churches and a production of the 224 Ecospace. Reach out to us and tell us what you think. Look for Rich Answers, the Conference of Churches, and me, Reverend Dr. Shelley Bess, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Like us, follow us, share us.